This is the Psychic Artist Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Rossiter. I'm an artist, writer, and psychic medium living in Hawaii. This show is about people who are intuitive and creative, and what the process of integrating that awareness looks and feels like, and how we can access and develop that place inside of us all that is supremely psychic. For this episode, I speak with Natasha Bray, and she is a success mastery coach. She helps women break through to higher levels of success, love, and finances. And we talk about healing trauma and the four success saboteur archetypes. And her basic premise is the more you heal, the more your business will grow. So I hope you enjoy. So welcome, Natasha Bray, to the Psychic Artist Podcast. I'm so happy to have you. And you are in Wales, is that correct?
Right, Wales in the UK.
Wonderful. So thank you for joining us. Perhaps you can share about your work. I'm just really thrilled to have you on. It's very special.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. I'm really excited to be here. So for anyone listening who hasn't heard of me before, I'm Natasha Bray. I'm a success mastery coach for women entrepreneurs who want to unlock the ultimate up level. And to me, the ultimate up level is up leveling emotionally, financially, and spiritually for true success. Because what I have found, and also in my own journey, is we sometimes focus quite a lot on the financial success, and then other things in our lives start to get sacrificed. So part of my journey was actually taking that path initially, hustling far too much and, you know, having to sacrifice to other areas of my life, including my relationships. So that's where the ultimate up level was born, up leveling in all three of those areas for true success.
Yeah, and I find that right now is a really intense time in the world for a lot of people. And we tend to think that we have to put aside the emotions that are coming up or our need for healing and just forge ahead. So I'm really interested in your thoughts about the process of healing and how that magically expanded your financial wealth and your personal success in your business, the importance of healing the self.
Yeah, oh, it's so important. And it's actually kind of how I accidentally fell into doing this work, really. When I had this huge block around being able to have love and success, and I met my partner, who we've been together almost nearly 5 years now. But I had what I call a relationship curse, where I couldn't get past 18 months in any relationship I was in. And I met this guy and I really wanted it to work out this time longer than the 18-month curse. So I started to work on healing myself. I knew where a lot of this stuff came from. It was from my childhood. I had a very abusive and traumatic childhood. So I started working on healing this and healing myself so that I could have a loving long-term relationship in my life. Now, as a side effect to doing that work, my business that was kind of doing okay, but stuck. I was at an income plateau. I couldn't seem to get past it. But my business exploded when I started doing this healing work on me. So in a very short space of time, over the last 3 years, I've grown from somebody on minimum wage to now a self-made millionaire. And that is through the success I've had in my business and the healing that has allowed that growth to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. Congratulations on all of your, it seems like, I want to say connection to spirit, like you've really connected to your intuition to get where you are. And can you describe that connection or your practice that led you, this intuitive healing that you learned that you share with others that kind of helped you to break through the pattern you were in?
Yeah, I think the more we heal ourselves, the closer we get to our soul and our spiritual self. I really believe that our soul and our connection to something higher is almost clouded or blocked by all of the human wounds that we have. And a key part of this journey was the more I healed, the more I was able to connect to my soul, to my intuition, and to the universe or angels, whatever you believe in. I really do believe in something higher. And that belief in something higher was also a key part of my growth as well. And I noticed that the more I was healing these wounds, also the more open I was to receiving guidance and information from my business. And every stage of my business has been spiritually guided. Every course that I create, even my content, I write content spur of the moment because I write what comes through me for my audience. I ask, what do my audience need to know today? And that's how I write my content. And all of the wealth that I've built is organically too. So everything's done organically, mostly through content marketing. Even down to creating my own therapy that I actually teach to other therapists now, as well as through my other business, the School of Healing Mastery. That was all channeled and guided as well.
That's beautiful. And can you describe the experience of channeling or anything that you do to connect to that energy or to clear your energy? Because there must be a lot of things that, could impact you, but it sounds like you're really centered.
I really keep it simple, just like I try to keep business simple. I try to keep any sort of daily practices I have simple too, because I'm a busy mum of two young children, two businesses, which is a bit like having four children. So I try to keep it as simple as possible. Every morning, I will try and make sure that I have just 10 minutes of silent meditation. And I ask for anything I need to know to come through to me during that silent meditation. I will also pull an oracle card for myself for the day and write out my gratitudes and affirmations for the day as well. So really simple, around 15 minutes every morning on that little, I guess you could call it an intuition ritual or a mindset ritual. It just really sets me up positively for the day.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful. And I read recently on your social media you were talking about me time and wanting to sort of start to do a little bit more of that outside of your business. And you mentioned like taking a photography course. And I was just wondering about creativity in your life or in your clients' lives. Like, what do you, how do you connect creativity? Or, it doesn't have to be literally making art, but some aspect of or going dancing or some creative expression, how that supports the expansion that you're supporting other women in doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've always been a creative person. I was very much the artist in school. Art was my favorite subject. I was like the A star art student. And my first business was actually creating healthy food products. So I was using my creativity. Half of the problem is whenever I have a creative project that I enjoy, I end up turning it into a business. So the food, healthy food that I used to create became a business. And then where I channel my creativity now is creating experiences and courses for my clients. It's my absolute favorite thing to do. When I envision myself in the future, it's just writing loads of courses and selling them for other people to use with their clients. That's how much I enjoy doing that. But we do need something that's not business or work related to help with our creativity too. So I'm mum to a 6-month old and a 5-year old, and I did realize lately that my life had pretty much become home with the family or work. And I think it's kind of just finding your, like, who you are and what life is meant to be like again after having a new addition to the family. And so I realized I needed something to do that wasn't work or babies. And that's when the idea of tapping into something, I guess, that you might have done when you were little. This is what I advise to my clients too. So whether that is dancing, whether that's a class, or whether it's just dancing around your house with some music on that you enjoy. Art, you know, I bought adult paint by numbers to try and connect into that child part of me who used to love art so much, because I haven't done art in a, you know, that type of art in a very long time. So little things like that, and actually tapping into that creativity really helps with financial abundance, because you're in receiving mode usually when you're in creativity spaces. So one of my clients, she actually did the same thing. We did a healing session around what was blocking her creativity. And she ended up buying some paint by numbers, did the paint by numbers, and about, this might be complete coincidence, but I don't believe in coincidences, she secured a multi six-figure client within, I think it was 10 days of doing that session.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tapping into her inner child, her creativity, again, was really powerful for her.
And sort of sending the message to the universe, this is what I'm open to, is this this flow. And I wonder what you guys talked about in that session, not specifically, but like, what is a session like that with you? How do you heal trauma, or what are some of the tools that you share with your clients? And also, we haven't really talked about, but your definition of trauma might be different than some listeners are thinking, like, oh, I had to have some horrible traumatic event. But I think you mentioned that trauma is anything that left you feeling unloved, unworthy, not enough, helpless, or powerless. So it could be any event in your life where you just kind of got stuck.
Yeah, we do tend to think of trauma as a bit of a scary word. And lots of people will say, I had a brilliant childhood, Natasha. I don't have any trauma in my life. But we have all gone through something that has made us feel not good enough. Like you say, not good enough, not worthy, not lovable, or helpless or powerless at some point. And sometimes the trauma is that you compared yourself to your best friend in school and you never felt good enough in comparison to her. So it leaves you with this not enoughness wound that shows up in your business then, and in your adult life, in relationships and in your work. It could be, something completely unavoidable, like a parent told you not to do something and you did it anyway and you ended up hurting yourself. And in that moment, you learn not to trust yourself. So that shows up in finding it hard to make decisions, feeling frozen, procrastinating in your business. So you can see those two things are not exactly what we'd consider huge trauma, but they've left you with a belief or a feeling about yourself that is holding you back in some way in your life and in your business today.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you help your clients work through that? I know you can't say everything about it, but can you give us some clues as to how the process works and why it's so effective? Because I think one of the most impressive things about your business is that you share the successes, and it's profound. Everybody has an amazing experience through a very simple process, it sounds like.
So I have various tools in my toolkit, but my own therapy that I developed is something called heart healing. And it combines spiritual and scientific principles. So I guess you could, hypnotherapy is a base for the therapy, but it's very different to normal hypnotherapy. And we go in and heal this, particularly what I call relational trauma. So I truly believe it's not the experience that leaves you with the trauma. It is the person who was behind the experience. So if I give you an example, we've all been betrayed in life. But to be betrayed by someone you didn't know very well, compared to being betrayed by your own mother or father, has a very different impact on you and how you feel and how your identity shapes. So my expertise is healing the relational trauma within the subconscious state. Sometimes I relate to it as parent wounds. And it's a very, as I say, we draw on spiritual and scientific concepts. I very much believe that I am the integration of the two. It's for a really profound healing experience. And that works on the heart level. But for those of you listening who are quite spiritual, the heart is thought of as the portal to the soul. So we really do a lot of soul level healing within that process that radically changes someone's life within 1 hour. It's really powerful.
That's amazing. And do you do any sort of energetic conscious work like Reiki, or is it just through talking or just by being together?
Yeah, I love Reiki. I'm not actually trained in it. Lots of people have commented that they felt as if our work together had like a shamanic element or shamanic experience. Although I'm not a trained shaman, but maybe it's there in my genetics somewhere. Who knows? So I would say the process is very energetic as well, but I'm not actually trained in any energy processes.
But you are trained as a hypnotherapist and you do have your degree in, I'm thinking psychology or what was it that you studied in college? Yeah.
So I've got a clinical hypnotherapy diploma. I was in university for 9 years altogether. Don't ask me how I was there so long, but I ended up changing degrees. Psychology, I was the best performing student in my psychology degree. I went on to study behavior change and also a master's in social work.
So really thinking about how people process trauma and how to release it, it sounds like you were drawn to this field and you, in the process, you healed yourself. And so one thing I want to talk about that you said so beautifully once was kind of to be authentic to yourself if you are a healer or a teacher or a spiritual assistant to others, because you train a lot of people who are in that field. For them to be honest with where they're at. Like, if you're a beginner, just say, this is what I'm doing. And people are interested in working with you at your level to, for people to be able to just start where they are, and that we all have a gift to share, even if we're in the process of healing. And it seems like you're honest about that yourself. Like, there's things that you're not perfect in, but you learn as you go, and the insights are shared and it helps hundreds of people, if not thousands.
Yeah, I think a really important thing that I learned, I guess, on my healing journey relating to that is that we are not something that is broken, meant to be fixed. And a lot of people come into healing thinking, I want to fix myself. And I experienced that when I thought that I'd overcome certain issues that I was working on, and then the same issue would come up again at the new level that I'd grown to. And I used to initially beat myself up, thinking that, oh, I haven't fixed this, I've failed, that type of thing. And then what I realized was actually that the same, every new level you grow to, the same things come up again, but in a slightly different way. Because every time you heal, you expand your capacity to receive. You expand your capacity to move forward, or you could call it an expansion of your comfort zone, for example, so that you can receive more and hold more, whether that's in love or in your business. But then you meet the edge again, and you're ready for the next bit of healing that expands you again. So I now look at life and the healing journey is a journey of continuous expansion. So like it's an evolution. You're always evolving. You're always expanding. You are going to meet the edges of that evolution or expansion, and you're going to need to do another little bit of work on yourself in terms of the healing journey. And it's just, there is no finish line. I try to look at it a little bit like a game now, where you're like, you're working through the different levels, and there's a new challenge that you've got to overcome to go to the next level each time.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do to support yourself when you hit those uncomfortable moments? You know, like say public speaking or something that's like,
Public speaking used to be very scary for me. I think, you know, it's tapping into the resources that you already have inside you. We've all got those inner resources or connection to spirit, connection to your guides, asking for guidance. You know, I've done that so many times when I've been in a place where I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. tapping into my own skills that I have, of course, but then also I work with a lot of different healers. If I feel I need past life healing, I'll go and find a past life healer, or I work with a shaman or Reiki or angel healers, like all different types of therapists. And I actually use healers and psychics more to grow my business than I do business coaches.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think a lot of people do that, but they haven't talked about it. So I appreciate your honesty that, you know, growing one's business and transforming one's life takes a team of support sometimes. And sometimes you can't see what's aligned for you because you're in the midst of it. And it's helpful to have a support from outside and a variety of people.
You can't always see what needs to change or transform from your own thinking that created that in the first place. So a lot of people, especially healers, or people who heal in whatever way that is, whether that's healing through art or whatever method of healing they have, they often feel like they shouldn't have to ask for help when it comes to their own healing. Mm-hmm. And they try to do it all themselves. But actually, one of the best things you can do is to get external support and help, because you can't always see what needs to, you can't heal something from the same frame of mind that created it almost. It's like we all have blind spots, and you need someone else to help you work through those.
Yeah, that will happen to me quite often, where I'll be thinking like, no, I'm listening to my boundaries, I've got this, and then I'll check in with a psychic and I'll get this totally different, and it'll be from angels sharing information usually. I'll get a completely different perspective, and maybe I'll even check with two people, three people, and they'll all say the same thing. I'm like, oh, right. And then it just clicks. And I don't have any resistance to the information because I hear the frequency is like truth. And you kind of can feel like, right, I just couldn't see it. And it wasn't that I wasn't willing to see it, but I wasn't there yet. And it's really interesting. And then it's very easy to follow the guidance because it feels so aligned and you can see the dynamic. But until that moment when someone shares it with you, you can't always see it. No. I think this is making me think about your questionnaire that you have on your website about success saboteurs. And I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about that, because you have, I think, four of them, maybe, different types. And these are things that we do to sabotage ourselves, different patterns that we tend to, you know, like a type that we might fall into. I read through it and I felt like I had a little bit from every type.
Yeah, we do actually have all four of the success saboteurs. And I actually discovered these on my own journey of healing from all of the things that I was doing to sabotage myself and my relationships and my business. And then I saw the same pattern coming up with every entrepreneur that I worked with, and I realized there was something more to this. So I'll tell you about the four now. There's the overgiver success saboteur. So this is where you, in business especially, but in life as well, overgive to others to the sacrifice of yourself. So whether that's always doing things for others, always putting other people first, undercharging or not charging at all sometimes, or undercharging and way over delivering. I do believe in over delivering, but not to the extent that an overgiver tends to. And you're a bit in rescue mode. You feel like you want to save everyone, but it is committing a sacrifice to yourself, and that can lead to burnout, keeping your prices too low, and generally just not feeling very happy. You tend to have a bit of resentment towards others then, when you feel like you're giving so much and not really getting the same back.
And is it connected also with undervaluing yourself, perhaps, like keeping your prices low?
Yeah, because that one is linked in with that not enough wound that we talked about earlier. So when you don't feel enough, you're constantly trying to please others and show them how enough you are, because you don't just believe that you're enough as you are. Mm-hmm. And that leads to the overgiving. So also another big symptom of this is a lack of boundaries, or you struggle to have boundaries and you kind of say yes to everything, even though it might put lots of extra stress on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the overgiver. Then we've got the imposter, and we touched on this one a little bit earlier as well. I don't think I fully answered one of the questions. You think that you don't know enough. So with the other one, you think you're not enough, but with the imposter, you tend to think you don't know enough. So you're constantly trying to learn more and more and do more courses, invest in more coaches, before you feel enough to start your business or up-level your business. And usually, though, these people with a strong imposter success up to, they actually are very successful. They've achieved lots of success in their lives, but they don't believe it was them. They think it was luck or fluke or chance. So they place it all outside of them rather than understanding that it's them that has created that success from within. So they're the main characteristics, and it depends. You can be any level of business and have an imposter success saboteur. I've worked with people who are in millions with one, or people just starting off and not able to get on that first step on their business because the imposter's coming up really strong. Tends to come up in transitions. So whether you're transitioning from a job to a business, or even an offline business to an online business. And the key thing with this is that you doubt yourself. So you've got lots of self-doubt. You struggle to trust yourself and your decisions. You're usually looking to other people to give you permission to take action or to take certain actions in your business. And the biggest wound is what I call the trust wound there, where you just don't have that trust because of incidences of betrayal that have caused a wound in your life.
That makes a lot of sense, that you're sort of looking outside of yourself for guidance. And when you take back that power and start to trust yourself, you receive more intuition and more guidance from within.
Feeling that imposter is actually one of the key significant healing journeys to actually being able to connect your intuition even more and unlock it even more. Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is the outcast.
Yeah. The outcast. That one is interlinked with visibility issues, and lots of women and men entrepreneurs have visibility issues. If you're not an entrepreneur, it can show up as the fear of public speaking or not feeling confident in social situations. But as an entrepreneur, it shows up in not wanting to be visible, whether that's marketing yourself, going live, doing videos and podcasts, anything where you might be seen. But there's actually another level of that outcast one as well. So there's the one that doesn't want to be seen and will avoid being seen at all costs. And then there's the one that is visible, but they are pretending to be someone else. So It feels safe to be, the biggest fear with the outcast is rejection, fear of rejection. And it feels safer to be rejected for someone you're pretending to be than to be rejected for your true self.
Interesting.
So I know, the funny logic of the mind.
No, but I can feel that.
That's the outcast.
That's connected to authenticity too. And before I post on social media, I often ask myself, like, is this really what I want to share? Is this aligned with me? And it's hard sometimes to catch that. Like, am I pretending to be something that I'm not? Or am I, there is a lot for us to work through with sharing on social media and having a business that works with people all over the world. Yeah, it seems like all of your clients must work on this with you. This is a big one.
Yeah. I actually work through all four of them with people because we do have all four. But the outcast one, yes, it's also connected in with the fear of selling. So a lot of people will say, oh, I don't like selling. You know, selling and marketing are key parts of a business. And if you've got a strong outcast, unfortunately, it's holding you back in that area because the fear of hearing a no means you don't put yourself out there in terms of selling your stuff as well.
I think that's a really big one for artists, is this this old story of the artist is creative but not successful. And also that the artist is, I mean, we're kind of proudly outcasts. We want to operate outside of society because we don't believe in some of the structures and the controls and the rules don't apply to us. And so then to sell your work that you made from this free spirit feels like you're re-entering a system that you don't trust. And I think a lot of artists associate money with a system that can't be trusted. So there's a confusion there. So it's hard for artists to allow success, financial success, and to not feel like a sellout. That's the story anyways.
No, I do get it. Yeah, I know that. Well, it's almost like an archetype in itself. I know exactly what you're referring to. I've had a lot of artist clients. I attract creatives as well, partly because one of my dimensions is as a creative. And they have amazing shifts in their lives, in their businesses, through doing this work too. And very similarly to healers, and I believe art is healing in itself, you know. There is almost this belief that you can't be rich and be a healer, you can't be rich and be a true artist. Yes. And they're just money blocks. That's what we call money blocks. And they will be holding you back because they affect how you show up and how you take action in your business.
And what? Let's go ahead and finish the next one before I digress. But thank you.
Okay. And the final one is the hustler success saboteur. So that's the one where you believe you have to work really hard for the success that you have, to the point where you are probably, you know, extreme hustlers have a work addiction, and they actually end up kind of neglecting themselves, their health, and their relationships in order to work. They also tend to have what I call a passive income wound, where they feel that they have to work very hard for every piece of money that they receive, to the point where they feel like having an online course or something that's, like, you know, created once that you sell over and over again is cheating in some way or fraud in some way. So they really avoid making life easier for themselves. And all entrepreneurs go through this at some point in their journey. And usually the big thing here with the hustlers, they don't believe they can have it all. They don't believe they can have love, money, and health. They're the three key ones that tend to come up. But it could be any mix of this, not being able to have it all, whatever that all means to you. And the bank balance doesn't tend to reflect how much they're working. So, or they might have a big month one month and then followed by a bad month. And it's we call it the feast and famine cycle in business, because they've felt receiving a large amount of money has triggered them in some way to the point where they have sabotaged receiving any more. And the biggest issue with them is a self-worth issue deep down. Mm-hmm. So they don't feel worthy of receiving things with ease. They don't feel worthy of receiving everything that they want in their life.
Yeah, it's so common, especially for artists and creatives, to fall into these beliefs and to just get stuck in a pattern where you think it's your fault that you're not successful. And in some ways, you know, it's not about fault, but it's more about recognizing the patterns and finding tools to help you break free from them. Can you share how people could work with you or other ways to find out more? I know that you have a book on mm-hmm. Amazon and a beautiful website.
You can go and do the success saboteur quiz yourself and uncover what your biggest success saboteur is on my website. It's a free quiz on there. The success saboteur archetypes, if you go to my homepage, www.natashabray.co.uk, you can go and do the quiz there, and it'll give you a lot more detail about your top success saboteur. We do have a book on Amazon. It's a collaboration book. It's called When Women Heal, and it's a project I put together to highlight 16 women, incredible women that I've worked with that have overcome a lot in their lives to grow incredible businesses. But it's very healing to read and very inspirational to see. I think that there is hope for you, whatever you've been through, whatever's going on for you right now, even that you can come through it and still have an incredible life. So that's called When Women Heal. You can get that on Amazon. And my signature program linked to healing the success saboteurs is called the Ultimate Up Level Academy. You can see more about that on my website too. We go through healing all of those four different success saboteurs so that you can have the life, the love, and the business that you want.
Amazing. Thank you, Natasha. I love mm-hmm. your work. It's so inspiring. And I think it's really important right now for people to access their own power and let go of some of the ideas that hold us back. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to my interview with Natasha Bray. I hope it was inspiring for you. I want to share a creative practice that I'm offering. I'll be teaching monthly painting workshops on Zoom for the rest of 2022. So in these classes, I will be teaching you how to paint, how to connect to intuition, what it feels like to be in flow, and I'll be supporting you with the details down to what materials you need, or what is matched for you, what feels good for you to work with, to the bigger picture, which is like guided meditations, connecting with angels and spirit guides, connecting with your higher self, and doing what feels aligned for you in terms of creative practice and art making. So these will be group lessons where each person will get individualized attention, but also benefit from the energy of the group and our intention to be together for 2 hours once a month and allow creativity to flow through us and to us, and for you to feel free to be your most creative self. So please join me. You can find out more at sarahruster.com/creativity, and I look forward to working with you. Namaste. Thank you for listening to the Psychic Artist Podcast. To learn more about me, you can go to sarahrossiter.com, on Facebook at the Psychic Artist Podcast, and on Instagram at srossiterstudio. Thank you for listening, and many blessings.